Welcome back to Ag Day. I'm Melissa Miller. I'm here with Adam Shanks, my partner in crime. And we want to thank real quick. We're going to go through our sponsors real quick. Huge shout out to TTG Equipment, Ivy Tech Community College, Wampler Services Incorporated, the Farmers Bank, and Brock Grain Systems, along with all our Hoosierland TV sponsors. And we also want to throw a shout out to CNR Catering for feeding us today, and Ellis Jewelers for finding something special for all our guests. We are here. I'm kind of excited. I'm a little nervous also, but excited about this one. We have David Beard from Beard Farms and also Kevin Harness from Harness Farms here, a couple of Carroll and Clinton County producers, to talk about fertilizer alternatives and the, as we said earlier, all natural fertilizer. Not any better way to say it other than the four-letter word that we can't use on radio, Kevin. So, gentlemen, why don't you introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about your operation, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty about manure.
Okay, hello. I'm Kevin Harness with Harness Farms. We are a fourth-generation farm, along with myself. I have a farm with two brothers, two sons, and nephews. We farm corn, soybeans, and handle chicken manure.
David Beard, farm with my father and my son. We are contract pork producers, so we produce about 4 million gallons of our own manure annually. We also operate a custom waste application business that operates in Clinton, Carroll, Howard, Cass, and Tipton counties. So we custom apply manure for folks that have manure that they want applied to their own fields, or broker it to other producers that are just grain farmers.
So what we're looking at here today, we've got two most predominant types of au naturel fertilizer, if you will. Mr. Harness works with chicken litter, and Mr. Beard works with swine manure. Those are probably the two most prominent livestock industries around here. So I wanted to bring these experts in today to talk a little bit, because we've got probably record high nitrogen costs going into the spring, and so we've got this wonderful resource here. Gentlemen, talk a little bit about your specific products. How do they relate to commercial fertilizer in values, availability to the plant? You know, do they need to be mineralized? Are they readily available? Cost. Just talk a little bit about how your litter or your waste products can supplement commercial fertilizers.
All right. Comparing chicken litter to the source, let's assume 28% nitrogen. Right now, it's around $625 a ton, or you convert that to, I believe it's $1.11 a unit. Where I calculated out that if you're wanting to put on 200 pounds of units of N, 200 potash, 200 phosphate, and commercial fertilizer right now, you're looking at right at $400 an acre for a corn crop. In comparison with putting on 3 ton of chicken litter, which will actually put on more than 200 pounds of P and K for future crops, but to get the 200 units of N, you need 3 ton, it calculates right now at $240 an acre.
Wow, there's that big a difference.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
See, that's not counting all your micronutrients that you get along with chicken litter, which is pretty well balanced, the most balanced manure that's out there. And you get all the organic matter that goes along with it.
Sure.
So it's any type of livestock manure, has always been our opinion, is better than commercial.
Right. Go ahead, David.
So like Kevin said, chicken litter, you know, hog manure is a complete fertilizer, not just nitrogen, there's phosphate, potassium, micronutrients. Hog manure may be a little more variable than chicken litter in that it depends on the management of the facility. as to the concentration of the nutrients in the liquid. So a facility that really manages their water well may have a really high nitrogen content, and one that doesn't do such a good job, or just the way it's built, may have a lower nitrogen content. So it's really important if you start using hog manure that you have an analysis of the hog manure. The manures that we pump average about 45 pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 gallons. That's a pretty good average. I've had tests all the way up to 60 pounds per 1,000 and all as low as 20 pounds per 1,000. So there's a huge range. So that really it affects the cost of the application because application is charged by the gallon. So if you talk about value, 45 pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 is about $35 equivalent of anhydrous ammonia, which is currently $15.75 according to my source. So, what I tried to do was take 1,000 gallons of manure at 45 pounds of nitrogen, 24 pounds of P2O5, 30 pounds of K2O, and then 5 pounds of sulfur, which are the four main ingredients that nutrients that we're looking at. If you replace those with commercial fertilizer using anhydrous and MAP, potash, and ATS, it's going to cost you about $92 per 1,000 gallons. If you're looking at putting 6,000 gallons of manure down, that's $500. That's a huge, huge, huge difference.
Yeah, especially for producers nowadays with the way cost keeps going up on everything. Seed production, your fertilizers, your chemicals, everything's going up. It's, to me, simple math, no-brainer. You talked about how it's a complete fertilizer. It has everything in it, the micronutrients. It has the other minerals. Everything comes through. Basically, what goes in must come out when we're talking about animals. I mean, it's obvious. But besides what is in the actual manure and the fact that you're getting such a complete thing going across the field, are there other benefits besides the cost to using manure versus commercial fertilizer?
Well, along with the other benefits would be then you're getting, when you're putting on 3 ton to the acre, you're getting all the organic matter and stuff, which over time, eventually, your ground will hold water better, longer than commercial fertilizer, per se.
So manure is really friendly to the soil in its natural form. I want to mention that the nitrogen in pig manure is readily available. It's in ammonium state, so it's readily available, but it's also highly it's susceptible to loss, too. So it's really important that we treat it right when we apply it. We incorporate it and cover it up and make sure that it makes good soil contact. But just like the chicken litter, there's lots of organic matter in the liquid hog manure, and there's microbes, and there's lots of life in that we introduce to the soil that really helps the soil thrive.
Yeah, the organic matter is critical in any soil. It's hard to measure, but it's life-sustaining in soil for all the soil livestock that we call it, all the little bugs that work in the soil to mineralize, to make nutrients available to plants. So they get an added benefit from this manure application. David mentioned application and treating it well. Guys, talk a little bit about how you apply your products. When do you apply them? How do you apply them? How does that work for a producer looking at one of these alternatives?
In our situation, we use approximately half of the amount of manure we control. We use on our own land. And we have two big spreaders that ideal time is to spread it in the fall and then work it in with field cultivator, chisel or something, get it worked into the ground. That way you lessen the chance of runoff or any other problems right away.
With the liquid hog manure, we've got to inject it immediately. That's kind of a requirement. We've got to inject or incorporate it within 24 hours. That's a statute. But that also, it really helps the nitrogen remain in the soil. If we apply manure and you can smell it, that's ammonia, and that's nitrogen leaving the source. So we want to be as friendly there as we can. And we always try to inject it. we utilize a drag hose applicator, it's called. So we place a pump in the at the barn, and we lay hose to the field, and we actually drag a hose back and forth across the field. And our applicator looks a lot like an anhydrous rig is what it does. And there's a flow meter on it, so we know exactly how much we're putting down as we're going across the field, and we can map the application just like a yield map. So that's the way we apply manure. But sometimes there's a need to move the manure over a longer distance, so we'll have to put in semi-trucks and transport it then. But we still use the drag hose system to apply the manure.
So swine manure, for those listening, is a liquid state as it's pumped and applied. Chicken litter is relatively dry, or what kind of percent moisture is chicken litter? It has to be scooped and
It's fairly dry. It's 20-30% moisture, but it handles like compost, I suppose, dry compost.
Okay, and you say you spread in the fall typically and then work it in?
Yes. For the other part that we don't handle ourselves, we'll transport it to other guys' farms. Either they have their own types, the old style spreaders, or any type of dry spreader, or there's commercial guys with trucks that can spread it.
Okay, just wanted to clarify, the two different forms that we're working with here. The swine is liquid, and chicken litter is more of a dry material.
Oh, most of the manure we inject, swine manure, is injected in the fall, and that's simply a function of time window. It's not a real fast process, so if we waited till spring to get it all done, we wouldn't be able to do as near as much as we can in the fall. But there's kind of a fight going on there, because the nitrogen is so available in the swine manure, we've got to do something to help stabilize it when we apply it in the fall, or else it can get away. So the most ideal time to apply any nutrient is as close to the when the plant's growing as possible. So spring applied is a much more efficient process. You can put less, you experience less loss than you do in the fall application, or even old timers used to always spread it on wheat ground, and there's very little of nitrogen left when you apply it on wheat ground for the next year, unless possibly there's some research being done on cover crops where you apply it to a growing cover crop, and then a cover crop takes up nitrogen and it re-releases it back in the environment in the next year.
Right. You, with doing fall application, of course, you have to wait till you get at least the beans off if you're going to bean ground or whatever. But there's a lot of planning that has to go into it, because, like you said, that's going to sit there all winter long in the ground before you put your plants in the ground, before you spring plant. So talk to us a little bit about your thought process when you're planning it out, how much you're going to put where, what goes into determining how much you're going to spread on your certain, different ground.
Well, the best way to base this off of is pull your soil test, before you apply anything. It is the absolute best way to know how much you want to put on. But in the chicken manure aspect, though, you would, for aesthetics reasons, 2 tons is probably minimum to put on, 4 tons optimal.
With the pig manure, because it can vary so much in its nutrient concentration based on the amount of water that's present, you really need a sample of the manure to determine the nutrient content. But just like Kevin said, you've got to have a goal. You got to have a cropping plan. So your yield goal, your soil test. You do some calculations to determine how much you need to apply based on the concentration of the fertilizer source.
And Kevin, you'd mentioned earlier we're looking at, some other nutrients for future crops, your phosphorus and your potassium. We look at the tri-state soil recommendations and the buildup and drawdown of those. Do you guys apply, based on those limiting type amounts, or do you just mainly look at, the nitrogen availability or the nitrogen source of that fertilizer to gauge how much you should put on? Obviously with your soil test, but, we don't want to overload with phosphorus. But does that play into your equation at all?
Yeah. Nitrogen is the first thing you look at. The phosphorus and potash, though, will do multiple crop years if you're putting on 3-4 ton of chicken litter, you're looking at a minimum of at least two corn crops that it will handle. And being manure, it's way more stable than if you put it on commercial fertilizer. I mean, it's the way God made it. It is, you know, the stuff stable. It's made to stay there.
And so, depending on the amount of organic nitrogen present in the fertilizer, that has a lot to do with how long it stays around, how long it takes it to convert and become available to the plants. And so, that's a real factor in your decision.
Well, obviously, the animals do not produce manure seasonably. It's a year-round thing, so you've got to have a way to store this. So, and as you mentioned earlier, David, the government has their hand in everything to an extent. Tell our audience, tell our listeners what you guys have to do to be able to preserve that until it's time for you to be able to apply it. Because, you know, like I said, chickens aren't going to quit pooping anytime soon, and neither are pigs, so you got to have some place to put it. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, on the poultry side, it's a stored in storage barns, either underneath the cages or in the case of certain operations, they'll belt it out to the back of the barn and store it. But it's all stored there right on site where it's produced. They're usually at least a minimum of 6 months storage. Lots of times places have up to a year storage of the manure they're producing before you need to move it out.
The vast majority of pig barns constructed these days have underfloor storage, so there's essentially a basement underneath the animals that the manure just falls down to and stays there until we remove it. Have to agitate it sometimes to get the solids in suspension. That's the trick with dealing with the liquid versus the solid. The solid doesn't settle out. Liquids will. So that's a challenge that we have, is agitation.
I know with the solids, and I know what Kevin's talking about because I'm a little more familiar with his operation. You were talking about the liquids. Some of the challenges that I have heard with the liquid is, what if yours too much? Because you have to add the water. Have you ever had problems with any of your facilities having an overflow just because you couldn't get it out? There was, you know, maybe we had a wet fall and you had nowhere to go.
I think it was 2008. It was a really wet fall, and we couldn't get out to get it applied, and we had to wait on a freeze. And so we had to apply for a special exception from Indiana Department of Environmental Management to go out and surface apply on frozen land, just to get by and keep the buildings from running over. So we really didn't gain any ground. We just kept accidents and disasters from happening at that point. And then in the spring, we had a lot of work to do to get caught back up, at least make enough room that those facilities could make it till fall to the next window we could apply.
Yeah, Mother Nature causes a lot of issues when it comes to that sort of thing. You're at her mercy year-round anyway. What other challenges have you guys faced with dealing with manure and using that as your main fertilizer? I mean, are there any other challenges towards that?
Oh, I guess David would agree with me on this. It would be the neighbors that you're applying on a farm, and you got a neighbor that does not do any farming or doesn't like it, and they don't seem to realize it's got to go somewhere.
Right, yeah.
We do everything we possibly can to mitigate effects on neighbors when we're applying, but unfortunately this stuff just has an odor to it. But when you really do a good job of incorporating it and don't really spill a lot on top, the smell may be there, but it tends to be a temporary smell. It doesn't tend to last more than a couple of days. And so thankfully, though, a lot of our application occurs when it's fairly cold in the fall. So everybody's windows are closed, and so it doesn't seem to affect them quite as much at that point.
Yeah, I know we've got neighbors around us that have not appreciated it, and it's like, well, you know, stop, think about it. If you smell that, and Kevin said too, smells like money. But you think about that. And I just tell them, I said, well, when you go and you sit down at your supper table, you think about that smell and think about how well that smell produced what you're eating. And then maybe that doesn't smell quite as bad. So, Adam, you got anything else you want to?
Yeah, I just want to share. So David's doing some pretty cool things, trying out, and I think there's ways we could work it into chicken litter as well, and that's applying in a standing crop. He's got some rigs set up to apply side dress swine manure. This research has been going on in Ohio for a few years, and we're working on it here in Clinton County, and that's, you know, looking at corn, putting that nitrogen there when it needs it. And so that's pretty cool, and I think there's ways we could look at, you know, putting in zones or banding in chicken litter too, you know, to try to mitigate that use or that loss of smell or that loss of nitrogen in the off season, if we can cooperate with Mother Nature and have a window there to get that applied. So trying to think outside the box and do a little bit different things is going to be the key, I think, to keep the game going. Along with this, but are there any circumstances, guys, that you can think of where maybe a producer might not, where a fertilizer alternative such as manure might not fit into their operation at all? It might be a wild card question, but I'm just curious if there's a circumstance that maybe it wouldn't work.
I really can't come up with one. You know, I mean, you're dealing with the all natural product that was here before commercial fertilizer was. So I really can't think of a reason why you would ever turn down manure over commercial.
There are possibly a few locations that may not lend themselves to using liquid swine manure. Some soils may not hold the liquid very well. That would be the only case that I think that you wouldn't want to use any swine manure.
He sparked a question for me. Because, of course, you guys are a lot more versed in this than what I am. Going back to putting it on with the growing crop, and if we did that, I was always taught growing up that you didn't want to fertilize, especially with manure or compost, which in a way is, you know, the same type of thing, only manure is a little higher in the urea, and the ammonia, urea, I guess, are the same thing. To me, that would burn the crop up. Am I totally off on that, or you know, is that an old wives' tale that if you apply it while you're growing with your plants that you're going to burn them up because it's too much?
When and being chicken manure is bulk, I think it'd be kind of hard to come up with rather than just broadcast it over the top. Of the plant, which in the case of corn, you're going to get it down the whorl, which is probably not a good idea. Now, beans might be a little different, but then you're not going to really get any advantage of your nitrogen source from that standpoint. So on the chicken side, it's still the best to just put it down in the fall, get it underground, and wait for it to do its magic the next spring.
And since we've got to inject hog manure, we've got to go probably down the row in between the rows. So we wouldn't be actually getting it on the plant. If you do get it on the plant, it'll certainly burn it.
That's okay. So I'm not totally crazy. you say a word. thank you, guys. We're already out of time. That went quick. I want to thank you guys for being here, David, Kevin. Tell us, you guys both do not only on your own ground, but you also commercial. I want to say do it commercially too, as far as offer manure, chicken litter, and hog manure. Tell our listeners if they are interested in it, if we have a producer out there that's thinking about it and wants to talk to you more about it, give them your contact information, let them know how they can get a hold of you, and that way, you know, they can benefit from this as well.
Well, just, I guess, give me a call, Kevin Harness, at my phone number, 765-652-1811.
My number, Dave Beard, is 765-659-8568.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for coming in, and we appreciate it. This is, to me, this is a subject that it's long overdue. We needed to get it on and get it on the air. And we thank you again for being a part of Ag Day.
Thanks, guys. That was great.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be out, and we'll be back with more Ag Day after AgriTalk.